this fucking guy.
Denominational holidays.
Oh, my holidays were great. I ate so much food.
Yes.
So much. My dad and I made, well, I mostly made.
Yeah. We know what pasta. That means.
Well, my dad usually, I mean, he made a lot of stuff, but when it came to the actual making of the pasta, I mostly did it. And we have, like, a hand-crank pasta machine.
Oh, you don't even have the kind that does it for you. You go old school.
No, which, so I have the attachment for my KitchenAid on my registry. So that it just
zoops it right through.
Pasta comes out. Right, but, so.
I could see Lou not being into that. Like, that's a lot of steps.
He's into it, but, like, he doesn't have a mixer. I do. But he has this, like, hand crank, and I guess he hadn't checked it before we started making all the pasta dough, and it was broken.
Ooh, yeah, it was.
So we had to hand roll, like, the old times. And by we, I mean me, and my arms were so fucking
sore. Are you so jacked now?
I rolled out, like, 4 balls of pasta dough, and you have to get it thin to the point where you could read a newspaper through it.
Yeah, that's so hard. We learned that from Great British Baking Show.
Yes, it is really difficult.
Because they be doing that shit delicious. With, what is it, like when they make, like,
fondant?
Yeah, you gotta make that shit so thin. It is hard.
Or the pastry dough.
Yes, that, when they make, like, thin-ass pastry dough.
Uh-huh.
They be rolling that shit forever.
Forever.
You're so a brave woman.
That was, thank you. I was pissed, but I was like, well, this is what I gotta do. Merry fucking Christmas.
This is what we're doing now.
Yeah, it was really good though.
What kind of pastas did you make?
I just made a very rough, artisanal, rustic pappardelle.
Oh, okay. Just like an artist interpretation.
Noodle.
Nice.
They were very uneven, a little thick. It's fine.
They were like dumpling consistency.
Kinda, yeah.
That was good as fuck, though.
But it was really good. With like a real, like a very hearty bolognese. So that was good. Yeah, it was pretty low-key. It was nice.
Fun times.
Just chilling. How was your non-denominational holiday?
We did not travel. We did not go nowheres.
That's amazing.
Because Kyle had to work on the day after Christmas, and so did I, because of this new job. And I did not take any time off. So we went to a Jewish cafe for lunch times and ate.
Amazing.
So much food. And then took the pup pups on a hike, during which we all got very muddy and gross. And then decided to scrap our evening plans and just get a bunch of Chinese takeout. Excuse you, good sir. Excuse you. Unnecessary.
Just like, I didn't get any Chinese food.
He got a goddamn fortune cookie, so he needs to calm the fuck down. Come here, good sir. Sit your ass down and be correct.
Did Jobin meet any other coyote folk?
No, Jobin did not try to assimilate into the coyote clan on this hike. Because he had to stay on leash because he lost his privileges. He is no longer allowed to roam the plains.
Nor should
no, he cannot be trusted. He is too stupid.
I love him so much, but he's a big
He's so dumb. He's so dumb. it's like somebody put the dumbest baby golden retriever who just trusts the world and everything is good into a German Shepherd body plus a heaping tablespoon of anxiety.
Yeah.
So much anxiety.
And like not knowing what to do with your limbs.
Oh, no. He has no idea where his body is in space. Zero clues. Like, he constantly runs into shit. And I'm like, you've lived in this house for almost 2 years.
You know where you are.
Like, how? How are you constantly falling downstairs and running into walls and furniture that has been the same way? He's just a special, special dumb idiot.
He's a special boy. He's a special dumb. I mean, Sora is similar, just dumb.
Just no idea, like, so no spatial stupid. Relativism.
And no respect for the laws of physics.
Oh, none. Mm-mm. None. Physics can fuck right off.
It's amazing, truly.
Yeah, so after that, and a shit ton of Chinese food, and lots of Christmas movies, I believe that Apple probably thinks my iTunes account got hacked because I spent like $30 on renting Christmas movies.
Why were you renting Christmas movies? I would have just given you, like, my Disney login.
Oh, it was too... We were too far gone by that point. We had had too many cocktails. There were several glasses of wine. Just booping the iTunes button on the Apple TV seemed the most direct route. We were like, there's a credit card in there. Just boop the rent button, and it's a movie. And so that's what we did. That was as far as the effort could go for non-denominational holidays.
Honestly, I get it. Like, next year I'm like, I don't want to do anything.
No, dude, not traveling.
So tired.
Not going anywhere is the fucking tits. It's the best.
Yeah, I mean, we went to my parents' house, but it's like 20 minutes away, yeah, so that was enough.
Yeah, that's enough excitement.
And we came home, we were in bed at like 9.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we were like $30 deep in Chinese food right around that same time. It was great.
Yeah.
So
love
nice.
It.
Love it. Don't list it.
Right. Don't list it. I'm assuming you're not doing anything for New Year's.
I think we're just going to cook a lot of Indian food and then eat it.
And then
go to Sleepy Town. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been invited to a few things, and I'm just like, I'm good. No, I feel like New Year's every time, it's like, it just keeps getting more expensive, and it keeps being like, oh, we have these grand plans, and then it's like, it always goes
wrong.
Yeah,
there's too much expectation.
And nobody has a great time.
No one has a good time. There's too much expectation. There's too much bullshit thrown on it. I don't like it.
Too many people.
Too many motherfucking people, and you know how I feel about people. I don't like them by and large.
Yeah.
Not a big fan.
Last year we went to Main Event with Amber and her daughter, and that was really fun because we like played games and like did laser tag, and like
that
was dope.
Like the jam. We did that one. I would like.
And then
when
I like
Kyle and I first started dating, I took him to this place in Nashville where there's like bowling and like bumper cars and fucking an arcade.
Yeah.
And that was what we did, and it was so much fun. And we went home at like 10
o'clock.
That
was our first date. Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah. Why do anything else?
It's the ideal situation.
Have like some booze, play some fucking old school arcade games. It's great. Yeah, everything else is bullshit.
Yeah, we're in the middle of The Witcher, so I think we're going to watch that tomorrow. It's good. Also, Nick was telling me about this. I guess in the video game, the Witcher character talks
is
like
it
a lot.
Video game?
So it's okay. Let me explain, because I was also confused. So it has this cult following. It's a collection of Polish short stories. Is where it originated. Then it got blew up and it was like huge. And then it got turned into a video game that, like, all the nerds are all about it. And I'm kind of like, I need to play the video game. But apparently the character of The Witcher, who Henry Cavill plays, is, like, super talkative in the game and, like, just doesn't shut the fuck up. But in the show, it's, like, because Henry Cavill, we know, beautiful man, not a good actor.
Bless him.
So he's doing the strong silent type.
That's very interesting because that was, like, the first question I asked you was, like...
That was mine, too.
I can't take him seriously.
I literally said to Nick, I don't trust Henry Cavill.
I don't trust him.
I look at him and I see his face and I don't trust you.
Yeah, like, he just, it's every movie he's been in that I've seen, he's just not, like, he's not a good actor.
He does not have a presence.
He's just very beige.
Yes, great description. He does not hold your memory. You're just like, there was a guy, he was tall and he had hair.
And he had, like, he had a very structured face.
That's it.
He's beautiful, and I'm sure he's, like, a lovely person.
I'm sure he's a lovely man.
But, like, when he speaks, I'm just like,
You speak, it makes me angry.
I don't want to punch you in the face. But in this show, he's actually, like, because he uses his real voice, so he's actually British. So everything I've seen him in, he's been pretending to be American, and it's not, it doesn't work. So he uses his real voice, and he's very, like, stoic, and it works.
Okay.
And he does have some funny moments, which is interesting.
I would not expect that.
Yeah,
that is
so,
not the thing I would expect.
Because the character is a little sassy, and so it's funny to see Henry Cavill, like, stoic with, like, a little bit of sass to him. It's interesting.
Can I give it a go?
And the first three episodes, yeah, you're going to be really confused because we were sitting there like, what the fuck is happening the whole time? And it's just, they just throw you right in. And then you're like, okay, I guess I'm not going to understand anything for at
least 4 hours.
Yeah, before
you just went into all this, all I knew was that A, it was Henry Cavill and I don't trust his face. And B, that my sweet eternal love, Ben Schwartz, put up a thing on Instagram that was like Ron Swanson as The Witcher. And then
I saw that.
Video, like, singing to him and was like, someone explain to me what this is. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I love it.
Yeah, I know what that is, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, I believe several of the comments explained to him the context of what was happening, and he enjoyed it.
Yeah, because there's an episode where The Witcher meets, like, a minstrel man. Like a singer who's just like so obnoxious, and they have to like partner up and like go do something, and he's just like, fuck this.
Yes, that's a John Ralphio vibe. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
100%.
It's good. Give it a shot.
That's a This Fucking Guy pod reco, guys.
Yeah, welcome to recommendation area.
Reco corner.
We're also.
I didn't like that.
My favorite murder does corners, so I don't think we could do corners.
Okay. But the...
What about, like, a rhombus?
The rec-o-rhombus? Into it.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Feels right. Trying to think if there's any show news. We have some Patreon subscribers!
Shout out to our Patreon subscribers!
Shout out to my sweet brother, Gordon. Thank you so much. He has become a $5 a month Patreon subscriber.
So generous!
What? So generous.
In the words
so,
of Natalie, who I cannot remember her name, but the singer from the 90s, the "You are so kind and generous." I'm so sorry to everyone for that, but it was...
Was that Natalie
and Bruce Lee?
She's torn. Different, not... Right. I just didn't know she had another song.
Who is this goddamn person I'm thinking of? I'm so sorry, audience. I apologize for this.
No, we're in 2020. We're not apologizing for shit. That's right. We're not apologizing
for a goddamn thing. I'm looking up this lady's name now because I can't stand it. Natalie Merchant. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Googles.
It was just right the world. There. Yes. That was so good. It also sounded a little like Hootie.
Oh my, okay. All right, I have a new impression.
Mm-hmm. It's working for you. So yeah, if you want to be cool like my brother, go to patreon.com/thisfuckingguypod and you can donate any amount a month.
You can be as cool as Gordon. And Gordon is pretty fucking cool, guys.
And he's really cool. And you'll get perks, special Patreon-only perks that we haven't quite decided yet, but you'll get them. Yeah. You'll get shout-outs on the show. But great content. And you get to help us continue making this dream a reality.
On the rag. I got some super sweet, lovely feedback from my good friend, Ben Macaluso, on the cast, which I was not expecting. He's a sweet goddamn angel and a well-dressed man. Very sharp and snappy.
Yes, love it.
He said, been enjoying the podcast. Keep it going. The chemistry between you two is so easy and it's not forced and it's great. And it made my heart happy, and I almost cried a little bit. So, thank you, Ben. You're the best. Shouts out to Ben. I know, what a goddamn angel.
Oh my god. We do have really good chemistry. Basically, because Carmen and I are obsessed with each other.
In, like, a really gross way.
Yeah. Like, if we weren't married to husbands, we would run away together.
Yeah, if we were into the yay-yays. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Game over.
Game over.
These boys can hang it the fuck up. Because, yeah, I'm pretty much obsessed with you.
We would run away to that little town in Italy where Call Me By Your Name was filmed, and we would just live there.
Oh, let's just go to northern Italy and eat pasta and drink wine. It really
is. It's the dream. And we get to do that for my wedding.
2020, bitch! Woo-hoo!
2020. We'll have to do a special abroad episode.
We will. Okay, we're going to have to find a way to make that work. Technology goes anywhere, right?
Yes. It does, and, you know, I'm the bride.
We're with me at castles, right? Yes.
Are you crying?
What happened?
So
I was just like, did I break it?
I may have closed the browser window.
You know, technical difficulties happen.
It's fine.
We're in the digital age.
We're just going to edit it.
There's a lot of buttons.
So many buttons.
It happens.
It's because I was trying to find my notes, and then I accidentally hit the wrong button.
I'm very much looking forward to your story today.
Oh my god. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Who went first last time?
Last time, I think I went first. It hasn't aired yet.
Tell me about dolphins, fuckers.
Yeah, I think I did that first, so you can go first.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, on the recommendation of my good friend and hetero lover, Caitlin Corsetti, I have been watching the Hulu program Harlots.
Yes, it is so good.
Which I heartily encourage viewing of. Jessica Brown Findlay is a perfect human woman.
She's the most beautiful person I think I've ever seen.
She is a, like, not of this planet beautiful person.
It's kind of disgusting.
She's so symmetrical and, like, beautiful in a very classic, like, Grecian goddess
way. She looks like
way.
A painting.
She genuinely looks like a straight-up painting. She's so beautiful. Anyways, I could talk about her for, like, 400 hours because she's so goddamn beautiful.
Love her.
That's Lady Sybil from Downton Abbey, if you recognize the name. She's in it. She's amazing. And I'm going to tell you about the real life Charlotte Wells, whose actual name was Charlotte Hayes.
Yes!
The character is based on.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Oh,
yay. So transport yourself to 1700s London. The streets are bustling. There's disease everywhere.
Everywhere.
People are throwing piss pots out in the streets. You know, it's just shit everywhere. There's no antibiotics.
Everyone's this is the has world. The plague.
Everyone's dying of the pox. Just pox everywhere. Shit is popping off. This is the world unto which Charlotte Hayes was born. So, she was born to a courtesan and brothel keeper, Elizabeth Ward, sometime around 1725. And some sources say that she was born in Genoa, Italy. However, I ended up reading a couple of passages from this book called, I totally have to fucking order this book too. It's called Madams, colon, Bawds and Brothel Keepers of London.
I need it.
By Fergus Linane, and I need it in my life.
Need it.
So he cites her birth as being in a Covent Garden slum, which was like where a lot of the like pleasure houses and stuff were in London. And that seems a lot more likely to me. Between, like, Genoa, Italy, and London. Especially because there's no information anywhere about how she would have gotten from Italy to England.
Right.
None. So, you know, she was very lowborn, so not a whole lot about her young life. But what's for definite sure is that her mother bred her up to be a lady on the town. And in the 1740s, somewhere in there, sold her virginity to the highest bidder, as was custom.
So
Jobin is now pulling the laces out of my slippers, guys. God damn it. He's got real cute J. Crew slippies, and he was trying to pull the laces out. Thank you very Christmas time. As I told Caitlin before we started the podcast, I am podcasting with my dogs in the room because my husband's not here to ensure they don't destroy the house. Be a lot of dog-based interruptions and dog-based background noise.
It's just festive.
So we're really setting a mood. Sit down. I am not talking to you, sir. Can you hear this shit? You are not part of this venture.
It's like, quiet.
But I will be. Well, like, what if you put the microphone over here? That would be cool. Is it a try and eat it? No one's asking you for your answer. Okay, so they sold her virginity to the highest bidder. And this amazing I know, so upsetting. And she had to be around, you know, she was like 14 or something. Really upsetting. So there's this amazing historian named Hallie Rubenhold who wrote this book called The Covent Garden Ladies. And she's the person who's done like the most research on this book. Called Harris's List of Covent Garden Ladies, which is an annual guidebook of central London's prostitutes, believed to have been published from 1757 to 1795. Yes, what? It was a real thing.
It was like a Zagat's guide to...
Yeah, like Yelp for
to brothels.
Yeah.
I love that. It's amazing.
So she said her mother would have put a very high price on her virginity, as much as £50, which is nearly $9,000 today.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, fucking dudes be obsessed with that shit. I don't get it. And especially because, like, disease was rampant. Like, they were very concerned about, like, purity and all this wild shit. Anyways, real dumb. But another book that is from the time called, get ready for this one, Nocturnal Revels.
Oh!
Published in 1779, provides a lot of detail about how Charlotte sold her virginity multiple times over, with Charlotte herself being quoted as saying that virginity is, quote, as easily made as a pudding. And said that she had sold her own virginity, quote, thousands of times. So
Holy
right away,
shit.
I love her.
I love her. Also, virginity is a construct. It's not a real thing.
Yeah, no. It's gross. It's real gross.
It's gross. It's stupid. And it's incorrect.
It's real upsetting. But this is a boss bitch who took nothing and made something out of it. So she soon became one of the most desirable courtesans in London, and she was beautiful, and she had great charisma, and she was, like, very sassy. She even managed to have her own, like, favorites. So she had, like, dudes on the side who, like, weren't even her keepers or her clients or anything. They were just, like, dudes she liked. Like, do your dizzle, girlfriend.
I love that.
So she even became entangled with an Irish poet. Excuse me. This is going to be very trying. I don't appreciate your back talk, son. You can hang that shit up. Get right before you get left. Anyways. So one of her famous lovers was this guy, an Irish poet named Samuel Derrick, who went to like a lot of brothels, kicked it with a lot of ladies, and eventually would go on to ghostwrite the Harris's list of the ladies of Covent Garden, into which,
of course,
she had a very prominent write-up.
I love this.
So over her younger years, she had a lot of, like, keepers, which are dudes who would, like, essentially, like, pay her to be their mistress. And they would, like, pay for her, you know, her dresses and buy her jewelry and all kinds of shit.
Sugar daddy.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. So she had, like, a sugar daddy who was, like, paying to keep her up. And the most famous one that she had was this guy named Robert Beau Tracy, who was the wealthy son of a judge. So she spent that motherfucker's money like it was going out of style. She drained his ass while banging dudes on the side, keeping her favorites up. She was said to be, quote, notoriously unfaithful to him, according to Nocturnal Revels. And, so this went on until 1756, when Tracy died out of nowhere, like, completely unexpectedly. Like, he was, like, a young dude in his 20s. But, you know.
She kill him?
No. There's, like, nothing linked to that. But that would be fun. But, you know, it's the 1700s. You know, sometimes you're 20 and you just die. Sometimes that shit happens. Like, a bird shit on you and then you just fucking died. Like, that's how things happen. They didn't have medicine, people, is what I'm saying.
They didn't have anything.
They didn't have hand sanitizer. They didn't have wipies. They had nothing.
Washing machines.
No. Like, life was a goddamn nightmare every day. So her keeper died completely out of nowhere in 1756 and left her with these huge debt bills that she had run up. And so she was put in debtor's prison because that was a thing back in the day because, like I said, life was a nightmare. So if you were poor, they were just like, hey, here's prison.
Yep. Here you go.
Here, come stay here.
How are people in prison going to then make the money to pay off their debts that they are in prison for?
I guess, like, a year is equal to 10 monies. I don't know.
Like, it costs them more money to put people in prison,
right,
than it does to just
come on 1700s England, get it the fuck together. So yeah, that wild shit was a thing. So but Charlotte, being a crafty bad bitch, turned this into an opportunity. So while she was in debtor's, because she's a bad bitch. So while she's in there, she meets this guy named Dennis Kelly, who was an Irish gambler, and he was, I didn't write the word down, but like a sedan man. Like, you know, the, like, carriages that they would, like, cart around?
Yeah.
He was one of those dudes. So in doing that job, like, he got to know a bunch of, like, high society ladies, and so he had all these contacts and shit. And he was, like, working as a gigolo on the sly and, like, banging rich ladies. So she was like, you know your shit, I know my shit, we're going to do something together.
Great.
So they, like, kind of start running shit inside of the debtor's prison. Like, he knew a lot about horse racing and stuff from being around, like, rich folks. So she convinced the jailers at the debtor's prison to let Dennis out on horse racing day so that he could go bet on horse racing and make the money and come back. So they, like, built an empire while they're in prison. So they're in debtor's prison for a fee. I know. Fucking awesome. They're so great.
Unbelievable.
It's incredible. So she, so they're in prison for a few years. And then in 1760, as a part of George III's amnesty for people in debtor's jail, they're released. And they're like, they've got all this money from all their shady shit that they were doing in jail. And, you know, now they've got all their fucking experience. Like, the world is their oyster. So they end up opening a string of high-class luxury brothels right near the Royal Palace. So there's this, like, alleyway that runs behind the palace called Pall Mall. And their brothels are, like, literally right off of the alleyway, like, next to these gambling halls and everything. And so their most lavish one is called King's Place. It is a newly built four-story house sitting right on the doorstep of London's aristocracy and royalty. It's like
that's incredible.
Right in the heart of everything. So my girl, Hallie Rubenhold, said, quote, the girls would have worn the finest dresses. The interiors would have been gorgeous. French furniture, chandeliers, and they would have really elaborate dinner parties, card parties, and musical parties. And they had these incredibly elaborate orgies and parties, all based around a theme, like a Tahitian theme or a Grecian theme. And you had to come by special invitation. They were very exclusive.
Ooh. That's like in the show when they have like the Grecian.
Oh, yeah, they,
like,
would do that.
They have them like dress up like Greek gods.
Yeah, they would have like these like tableaus where the girls would pose as like Grecian goddesses. And, you know, they would have all these, like, ceremonies and, like, pageantry and shit around it.
So wild.
Which I kind of love. Just sounds real fun.
I love it.
I love a costume party. It just sounds real fun.
I would like all of that just without the, like, having to do the sex stuff.
Yeah. Like, the first part sounds super fun. The back half, not so much. So Charlotte would charge 50 guineas a night for a night with her girls, which is equal
to that a lot?
A girl. It really put the show in a different perspective when I heard how much money this is. So 50 guineas is about $5,000 now. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So
holy shit.
So Charlotte's place, we're some of them rich motherfuckers. Yeah, and that was like, there's a, in the actual Harris's list, which you can actually go and look at if you want to get into that, there are pricing lists for the different brothels that list out different services and different girls and what it would cost. And like $5,000 is like an average. Like one of her girls who was like top bitch, like $9,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wild. Wild.
For like one appointment.
Yeah, for like, this is the top bitch in the house. You get your evening with her. And this is $9,000.
Oh,
so real high, it's a real high class operation.
Uh-huh.
So just a few short years later, about 8 years later, Charlotte and Dennis had amassed a total of 40,000 pounds, which for two very low-born people was fucking incredible, because in today monies, that's about $5 million.
Holy
shit. And these two people came from fuck all. They
nothing.
Came from nothing. So around this time, too, that they had been, like, building up their wealth, and they had several, they called them boarding houses. So to escape the law from being like centers of prostitution. So they had all this money. So so Dennis got kind of like put his horse racing knowledge to work and ended up taking a stake in this racehorse named Eclipse, who went on to become one of the most famous racehorses in history. And so his stud fee was about 50 guineas, which again, $5,000 in today's money. So he's making a fucking killing off this racehorse. So that, with all the money from the brothels, they are now crazy rich. They purchased two estates. Two! Not one. Two estates. Grand English estates. And then had numerous properties in St. James Place, which was like where the high society lived. And were like, at that point, like fully like a part of the like landowning gentry. These two people who came from absolutely nothing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So around this time, there's some rumors that Dennis and Charlotte got married, but no one can confirm that. They were partners, like lifelong partners. And so a few years, that same year is the year that Sam Derrick died, which if you'll remember, he was the ghostwriter of the Harris's List of the Ladies of Common Garden. And he and Charlotte were like lifelong friends and drinking buddies. And she sometimes like bankrolled him when he was in like a lot of financial trouble. So that year, in 1769, when he died, he left her all of the profits from the first edition of Harris's List.
Oh my God.
So Charlotte and Dennis are just making it rain. Just killing it. And fun podcast connection. When business was slack in London, the like higher class brothels tended to take their girls out of town, and Charlotte would take her girls to good old Sir Francis Dashwood's Hellfire Club.
Yes.
So fun podcast connection.
Oh my God!
Charlotte would take the ladies to Medmenham, to visit the Hellfire Club and hang out with the gentlemen there.
That's the best.
So fun. So, they were just, like, rolling, doing their thing. It's now 1776, America, yay, but really. So this weird instance happened where Charlotte was put back in debtor's prison, but it's not super clear, like, the paperwork and everything that they have from back then is really odd. So this bankrupt tailor had brought forth the case that she had skipped out on a 50-pound bill for, like, dresses for the girls. And so she ended up admitting to the debt and then went to prison rather than just paying for it. But Dennis, who had been away, came back and paid to have her freed. It's, like, a really weird blip of an instance that, like, no one really knows why that happened. So here again, Charlotte's getting into old age. She's just like running her houses, running her girls. They making their money. It's now 1787. And Dennis dies from gout, which I didn't know was a thing you could die from. But here again, 1700s, people die from weird shit.
What? I don't really think I know what gout is. Isn't it something with your liver?
I think so. It's like...
And it does shit to, like, your
Have an abundance of, I think it's, like, uric acid that builds up in your system, and then it, like, settles in your joints, and so there's, like, these little painful crystals and shit in your joints, and they get real swelled and nasty.
Form of arthritis characterized by severe pain, redness, and tenderness. Yeah, uric acid crystallizes and deposits in your joints. You can't
so it's,
die
like,
from
super
it.
Painful. So you don't think Dennis had a great end? So
sucks.
He died, and he was like about 67, they think.
That's old for that time period.
So he leaves his fortune and his will to Charlotte. Duh. But she's like so bummed about his death that her health starts to decline. She starts writing like weird letters to family, like shit that just doesn't make any sense. And a few years later, finds herself, even though she's got like this huge fortune, she's got all these houses, she's got these two estates, she somehow finds herself in financial trouble again and was committed to debtor's prison again in 1798. But this time her nephew, who was actually Dennis's nephew, bails her out because Dennis left a huge chunk of his fortune to him as well. And like the racehorse and stuff. But the nephew bails her out only on the condition that she signs over all of her assets to him. So she's kind of lives out the rest of her life in like a bit of poverty, but like still kind of taken care of from Dennis's money. And she dies of unknown causes in 1813. And at a best guess, they think she was maybe around 85, which I find very remarkable for 1700.
That's amazing.
I kind of can't believe like a working girl lived that long back in the day without being murdered or catching a crazy disease. So Charlotte Hayes, bad bitch, built a fucking empire out of nothing.
That's incredible. I didn't know the true story behind that, so I'm very... Mm-hmm. I knew there was, like, it was a big
thing. Yeah, apparently a lot of the show... Like, they've changed names, obviously, but a lot of the stuff that happens or is, like, shown in the show is based on actual shit. Pulled different characters.
Because that show is wild.
For sure, but, like, the one prostitute, I forget her name, but she, is a thief. She like steals from the men, like steals their money and shit. She's a pickpocket. There's the word I'm looking for. And she gets like branded and sent to jail and shit. She was based on a real person who actually was a courtesan and a pickpocket. So yeah, it's super good show.
It is very good, and the costumes are chef's kiss. They're so good.
So yeah, real life character from Hurwitz, Charlotte Hayes. Wow. That bitch built her own life on the fucking money of stupid dudes.
In old timeies.
When she could have been hanged for the shit that she did.
Yeah, because that was right around the time where like being a sex worker started. They turned it into a crime. It was very free, like well-known, like whatever, but then the government, the church got involved, and then they started to shut down.
Yeah, like especially when she was in a like older age, that's really when like the tide had started to turn, because there were like pleasure houses all over the goddamn place.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
Charlotte Hayes, babies.
Prudes. Wow. That was a good one.
I'm excited for your story. Ugh.
May she rest.
Yay,
okay, you're gonna like
no
this
murders?
One.
Oh,
no murders.
Wonderful.
I know. Look, this is my New Year's.
Thank you.
Gift to you
so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you about Francis Egerton, the third Duke of Bridgewater.
Fun title.
So he is most known for he's the father of inland navigation in London. So he's like the one that first brought canals to London. But what he's really known for, and what I love him for, is how much he loved dogs. So we'll get to that.
So,
Francis was born May 21st, 1736.
Oh, we got a lot of historical overlap this week.
Yes. To Lady Rachel and Scorp
Egerton. Shut the fuck
Egerton.
Up. Shut the fuck up.
His name was Scroop.
Scroop? Oh my god, I have to name a dog Scroop now.
Scroop. Scroop. Was his father's name. Can you imagine your dad being
world.
Scroop? Yeah. So Scroop had, he had two marriages. So Lady Rachel was his second marriage. And with Lady Rachel, he had seven children. And Francis was like somewhere in the middle, but he was the youngest son. So Scroop was the first Duke of Bridgewater, and he died in 1745. And then just 3 years later, Francis's older brother, the second Duke, died. So then at the age of 12, Francis became the third Duke of Bridgewater.
I love a young Duke because they're going to spend that money.
A young Duke. He was also an Earl. I think he was like the sixth or eighth Earl or something. So as a kid, he was often sick, as most of these people were back in these old times. Like, they were very sick.
Sickly. They're not well.
Like, you've got, like, a cough of
they're
some kind.
They're not well.
No, you're not well. And, like, probably not eating a lot, even though, like, he was a dude. Like, his family had a lot of money, but, like, there are also seven kids. Like,
yeah.
It's rough. So, he also, like, wasn't the brightest bulb. So he was quoted as having unpromising intellectual capacity.
Oh, bless his heart.
I know.
He was unpromising.
He was so stupid. I know. And so it got to a point where, like, his family was concerned about, like, the estate's livelihood, I guess. And so his mom actually considered doing this thing called cutting the entail, which was a British common law that basically you could, like, stop whoever owned property, like, in your family. Like, so he owned the estate because he was the Duke. And so his mom could have been like, well, he's, like, a dumbass and not, like, he, like, I'm concerned. And so she could stop him from, like,
that's amazing. Can that apply to an entire country? Could we?
That would be great.
Use that law now.
Asking for a friend.
Asking for a country friend.
I feel like yes.
Yeah. Let's rustle up some old ass ancient law and put it to good use.
It basically makes you, like, a sitting duck if you own something.
We need a lawyer on this. Lawyer friends? any lawyer listeners want to pull up this case law and see if it applies to a country? That would be great. Sincerely, yes. This fucking guy.
We'd like to do that, please. Yes. So his mom, like, looked into getting this done, but then didn't end up actually following through, but fortunately, at some point, Francis started to develop some business acumen
after a little bit of schooling.
Yeah, and, like, whatever, he probably had some weird, like,
brain they didn't know about autism back then.
Fine.
They didn't know about,
or, like, ADD or, like, whatever. Anything.
They were just like, you're possessed by the devil. Let's let out your blood. Yeah.
He's also a 12-year-old.
He was probably just jerking
and, like,
off everywhere.
Right. Let's stick some leeches.
He was just jerking off all over the castle. He's a 12-year-old boy. That's what they do. And they were like, we don't know what to do with this little fucker.
Oh, that's so gross.
He's so dumb.
Like, he's so stupid.
He's just in a goddamn
closet
all day. We don't know what he's doing. He's an idiot. What's he even doing?
What does he do back there? As he got older, he eventually became engaged to the Dowager Duchess of Hamilton. But then the engagement ended because she refused to give up, it said the acquaintance of her sister, Lady Coventry, which I don't really know what that means. And I read it as, like,
that's what that
she wouldn't
like.
Stop hanging out with her sister. That's what it sounds
like
right?
She didn't want to leave her sister.
So, I don't know.
She was really like, I got monies.
I don't
fucking need you.
There's not a lot of detail. Yeah. And so he was like, okay, cool. I'm leaving London and I'm going to retire and go to my estate at Worsley and also start building canals.
Yeah.
As you do. So like I said earlier, he is more commonly known as the father of inland navigation, and he built the Bridgewater Canal, which is recognized as the first true canal in the modern world. Yes. And he built numerous canals all over London, and then when he was 36, he spent most of his time just chilling at his estate because he made all these canals that were, like, super successful and that, like, did so much in London for, like, trade and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, who's not promising now, bitches?
But we're not good. Yeah, right? He's like, I built, like, all these canals. Boom. Yeah. But we're not here to talk about his love of waterways, Carmen. No. We're here to talk about Francis's love of dogs. So. Francis was obsessed with his dogs. He had two favorites. I think he had more dogs, but his two favorites were Bijou and Biche.
Great names.
And they joined him for dinner every night. And they would sit at the table on special chairs with little napkins tied around their necks.
I'm gonna cry.
They had little dinner napkins.
Okay.
Little dinner napkins. And he would have the servants of the house serve them meals at the same time that he did, like, with the little, like, the thing that comes off the plate. And, like, so he would, like, have these dinner parties with his dogs. But, okay, so one time his dogs were misbehaving, and so he didn't, like, call a trainer in. No, he called his tailor, because that's what you do. And he said, "These blackguards have deceived me. I have treated them like gentlemen. They have behaved like rascals. Take their measure. They shall wear for 8 days the yellow coats and knee breeches of my valets and stay in the anteroom and be deprived of the honor of seeing me for a week."
So he made
his dogs dress up like his
dogs dress up as peasants. You stupid idiot. Oh, that's what I'm going to say to these two. I'm going to say, you have deceived me.
Yes.
You're behaving like rascals.
You're behaving like rascals.
You dress as peasants.
For 8 days. And then he didn't let his dog sleep.
Yeah, I really want dog breeches now. Can someone give me a pair of dog breeches?
I know. So after this happened, he was like, my dogs look pretty good in clothes. And he kind of missed, like, having his dogs dine with him because he wasn't married and he didn't have kids. And so he decided to start having custom outfits made for his dogs.
Fully support this use of money. Fully here for it.
Yes. So, Francis then started to host these extravagant and lavish dinner parties for his dogs and their friends. So, each guest would receive custom tailored clothing. And by each guest, I mean each dog, not the people. The dog, he doesn't care about the people at all. They receive their own custom tailored clothing and their own personal servant. They were given free use of the carriages that he had, which were, like, ornate, and they had, like, gold and, like, velvet, and the dogs could, like, go wherever they wanted. And so people would, like, see
just
these
not
dogs
a fucking
and
person
being
in
driven,
sight, just
like,
shot full
the
of dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the plague and we're in this fucking carriage. Bye.
Yeah, see you later. I'm gonna go bye, chase guys. That ball. Catch a fox. So he also had in his estate these like lavish like velvet carpets and tapestried sofas and like all basically his house became yes. like a gigantic
that is embellished the dream. Dog house. It's just the dream.
Just dogs everywhere. It's the dream. Apparently there were cats too, but
unless
like,
I got tiny clothes, cats. Then I'm interested.
If a dog passed like in the circle, he would host these like grand funerals. And one report said that like at one time, I guess there was somebody's dog had died, and there were hundreds of dogs at this estate for a dog funeral.
A man ahead of his time.
It's the dream.
Oh,
I know. He was truly a visionary. So he also, this is like pretty weird, but,
He loved
like tiny dog boots. Of course, who doesn't? But Francis loved, boots for himself as well. So, he wore and had made a new pair of boots every day.
It's a bit extreme.
Every day. So, like, but then, so he would wear them for the day, take them off, preserve them, and then arrange them in order in, like, hallway and lined them up as a calendar, and no one was allowed to touch them. And he, like, when people would come over, he would, like, talk about, oh, these are the boots I wore on that day where I did X, Y, Z, and, oh, those are the boots
that's some Howard Hughes blah, blah, level blah. Shit.
And, it was like...
That's weird.
It's a whole thing.
That's a bit weird, Francis.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird.
Come on, Sir Franny. That's weird.
It's pretty bizarre. I know. But he continued to throw these parties for his dogs and his dogs' friends. And he died alone and unmarried.
He had an amazing goddamn life.
But he had all
and
dogs.
I won't hear anything to the contrary. Oh.
He sure did. Yes. He, I mean, and I wish alas. There were like pictures of this, but it was the 1700s.
So many dogs so. In tiny clothes, in tiny so, yeah, old-timey clothes. It's enough to make you want to cry. Oh.
Yes. Oh. He, I mean, just the fact that he, like, had them in their own outfits, and he, like, they all had their own servants, and, like,
I love he
couldn't it. Give a fuck about
He was just people. A man ahead of his like, time.
Bring me the dogs.
He was hosting parties for dogs before it became a goddamn thing. I love that, and I respect him for it. And he's a true visionary.
Yes. Yeah, and like he made important inventions.
Yes, that
but
really
most importantly, dog dinner parties. I like to think. Mm-hmm. That you know that painting
he had
of
that
dogs
commission.
Playing poker. I feel like that
he
was
like,
at his estate.
I need this documented. I am throwing a card party
absolutely.
This evening, for Bijou and her homies. I really need an artist
yes.
to capture this.
Yep.
That
Bijou and Bijou
tiny, tiny boots
and just the tiny boots.
Oh, we were gonna get Zara a pair of dog boots for the snow times. Because she's a tiny pibble, and she gets cold real easy. And I cried in the store looking at the boots. I could not because I could not get my shit together.
Did you get them or no?
I do. I could not be in a store.
You need to order them online. You can't be in the
because
store.
I lost my fucking mind. They're so small, Caitlin. They're so
like,
small.
I just... Dog,
they're,
the, I bet they're so little. Because their legs are very so stick-like. And little, so they got a slide strappy in there
that goes around the leg part. It was a lot emotionally. And, yeah, I did not do well with that. Do not. I know that she does. But you are correct. I'm going to have to order them online because I could not emotionally deal with it in a store. I took them out of the little package because I was like, I gotta size them up. And I took the small out of the package and I wanted to punch someone. They were so cute. I was like, I'm going to physically assault someone. I cannot deal with my emotions.
Like, yep. Ma'am, why are you in jail?
I punched someone in the dog store and I have zero regrets. I was
crying over dog boots.
Wow.
It's fine. Hi, Zipa. I saw that smush mouth.
So many die I saw that smush mouth. This evening. Apologies. We're just really living our lives and all.
We're just living like Francis. You know?
Oh, mm. And the patron saint of animals is St. Francis. Mm. Boom.
Coincidence?
I think not.
No. You know what yesterday was?
What's that?
Kita's birthday.
Shut up! Oh, happy birthday, my sweet side-eye angel.
She's 5.
Oh, my sweet cute girl.
I know. Makes me so sad.
Kita's the side-eye queen. Yes. If you guys have not followed side-eye Kita on Instagram, you need to get your fucking lives together.
I haven't posted on there in a long time. She's busy.
But just the evidence of it. Side-eye game. She's next level.
She is so sassy.
Oh, the sassiest Aussie Shepherd mix ever.
I brought her back a bone on my way home from running errands yesterday. And I gave it to her. And then, of course, I had to give a bone to Sora and Gigi, yeah, too. But then, like, they all wanted Kita's bone. And she was like, no, it's my birthday.
No, bitch.
No.
Don't even fucking look at it. Mm-mm. Not having it. Oh, I love that damn dog.
No, she loves it
too. Oh. So, I really want to have special outfits commissioned for my dogs.
I think we can make that happen.
I mean, isn't that what Etsy's for?
Yes. Jobin clearly wants an outfit.
I know, damn, all right.
Like, Zara has her little Letterman jacket on today, and he's naked.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't tolerate clothing well. He runs hot.
Yeah.
Hey! I know. Oh my god, chaos. Chaos. Pure chaos. Pure chaos.
He needs a vest.
Yeah.
Like a waistcoat.
He's good with accessories. Like a bandana.
Yeah.
A bow tie. He's good with accessories.
I'd love to see him in a little top hat.
Oh, God, I'd die. I would just fucking die. Ugh, I couldn't take it.
I know, you would just be sobbing constantly.
I mean, it makes my Grinch heart go 3 sizes just when I put their bow ties on.
No. I also want to know, like, what Francis's training methods were, because he was able to get his dogs to sit in a chair and wait patiently for meals to be revealed to them.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
How?
What kind of dogs were they?
I don't know. Mm. I would imagine, like, little dogs. I'm imagining, like, a Cavalier. King Charles.
Oh my god, that's adorable.
Just because
And that's a, like, good old-timey dog. They've been around forever.
For a long time. That's why Thor had so many problems, because of all the inbreeding.
Yeah. God bless him. Bulldogs the same way. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to exist. The world's trying to kill them off. Don't buy a bulldog, guys.
Adopt, don't shop.
Yeah, adopt. First of all, adopt. But if you're going to spend money on a dog, don't spend it on a bulldog. Just former vet tech's advice. In the vet tech world, they're called money pits. So know that your veterinarian is going to make a lot of money off of you if you buy a bulldog. Go adopt a dog. Crossbred beads are stronger and healthier because it's more genetic diversity.
Ooh,
you're welcome. Good. You're welcome. That's why mixed kids are so goddamn beautiful. Their world is trying to tell us something. Genetic diversity. Good stuff.
It's good. Diversity, great all around.
Great. Good stuff. Makes the world better.
It does, truly. I don't have any interesting encounters this week because I really haven't been out of the house much. But yeah. I thought it would be a good idea for us to do some resolutions.
Ooh. That's a good question.
One of mine is to just slow down.
Oh, that's a good one. Because I am not good at that. I am terrible at that.
I'm always going a million miles an hour.
Yes. That's a good one. Wow, bitch. I don't know, man. Fucking adulting. Being an adult is hard.
It's so hard.
It's so goddamn hard.
It's okay if you don't have one.
Yeah, I just want to, like, you know, be a good person. And just keep doing that.
You are a good person.
Keep doing that. And, like, podcasting with you.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. You know, if I could fit some more self-care up in there, that'd
self-care
be great.
Self-care is an important one for me, too.
I'm not good at it.
I need to do more physical activities.
I can understand that. I want to keep doing climbing's good.
Yeah.
I do.
You're doing great.
I'm doing some good climbing. I'm climbing harder stuff. Oh, I climbed a route at the gym the other day that really made me question my physical abilities as a human. That was a very trying moment. I was like, I don't understand how humans can possibly do this.
But you did it.
I didn't. I only got like halfway. And then I was like,
you
fuck
did
everything.
Half of it.
I was like, fuck everything. Let me down. I hate this. And I had a little bit of a moment.
That's fine.
Yeah. Self-care would be a good one to tuck in there a little more.
I think for podcast things, I want us to just be more consistent.
Yeah. It's hard.
It is hard because we have life. But I want this podcast to be a thing, and yeah. I want one day for us to be on tour.
Yeah. We want to come see your faces.
Yeah. All three of you.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Alex, Judge. Shout out. It's a late one. We'd also love to hire Alex.
Yeah, we want to hire Alex.
We'd love to hire Alex, our fake producer, as our real producer.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would be great. That's a good 2020 goal.
Yeah.
By the end of next year.
Yeah. Let's have Alex on the payroll. We didn't say how much.
Right. That was not specified.
That was never negotiated.
Or if we'll pay you in actual monies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Monopoly money.
Yeah. It's hugs. It's just hugs and friendship. Yeah, hugs and snugs and friendship. Well, Kyle has come back into the house.
There he
that
is.
Means my dogs are about to go absolute ape shit.
And that means it's time for us to wrap it up.
That means May 2020. Oh wait,
yes,
no.
So
that was incorrect.
Well, yeah, by 2019. Hello, 2020.
Thank
is
you.
What you meant.
Guys, numbers are hard.
Oh, and you're frozen. I don't know.
Are
oh, you
still
froze
there?
For us. Yeah, you froze for a minute.
I'm still here.
All right, well, follow us on all the social meds and donate to us on Patreon, and we will see you next time.
Yep, and as we say at the end of every This Fucking Guy, be your own
fucking guy.
Bye.
Bye.